called a sermonette, but it's really not going to be one. I like to just give you a message, a speech from the heart. I have no notes. I have, of course, prayed about this before standing in front of you. But I'd like to also address quite specifically our younger audience, because I remember it quite well. It was in June of 1969 when I received my first booklet and my first magazine from the Church of God in Germany. At that time it was called Foundation Ambassador College. They had run an advertisement in a German TV magazine, Hör zu, and it had to do with a booklet. The title was kind of amusing. It asked the question, why do dolphins laugh? And of course they went into the evolution theory and pointing out that it's laughable what scientists are talking about when they say the dolphins evolved from land mammals. So I ordered that booklet, and with it I got a 1-year free subscription of the Plain Truth magazine. It was called Reine Wahrheit at the time. Later it was changed to Klar und Wahr. Now I began to read the magazine, but I wasn't interested in religion. So I just read the articles about history, archaeology, evolution. But after a while, I did start reading the religious articles as well. And in the course of time, I asked for the Bible correspondence course. It was, at the time, a 12-issue series, and they asked questions, and then they just gave you the scripture. You were supposed to go to the Bible to read the scripture in the Bible and actually to jot it down, write it down. And that's what I did for all 12 lessons. I wrote it down. I don't know that I even had a typewriter at the time. I think I wrote it all down by hand. The first lesson I got, excuse the expression, it scared the dating daylights, or whatever you call it, out of me, because it was the end of the world, and Christ is going to come back soon. Now, remind you, I was young at the time, very young. Boy, I thought, I really have to get going here on this one because I don't have many more years to go. I really have to become serious about this. Well, it took a while until I really became serious about it. But jumping forward, looking at it now from today, would I have ever thought that I would stand here in front of you in the United States of America, talking to you from the pulpit, quote-unquote, as a minister? Never ever in my wildest dreams would I have thought that. Well, later, we transferred to the United States, and I worked in the legal department. And I just want to show you how things have changed and how, from a quote-unquote primitive beginning, we end up where we are today. Again, nobody could have possibly imagined that. We started communicating with overseas attorneys and overseas ministers via telex. You know, we had to write this down. We had to take it down to the telecommunication department, so they had to retype it, and then they had to send it out. And then, you know, maybe the next day or the following day, we got a call saying, the answer has arrived, so we went down, pick it up. Because, you know, calling was difficult because of the time difference. You know, somebody in India or somebody in Australia, whoever we wanted to call to, we had to be sometimes up at 12 till 1 o'clock in the morning in the office to make a phone call. So, and then of course you were fortunate if you even got somebody on the other line. So we started with telex, and then we had a fax machine. Oh, what great accomplishment that was, a fax machine. So you could send something by fax. Well, of course, you send it to Africa, you send it to India. You know, there was no guarantee they even had a fax machine. Or they had to go to a certain place to pick it up. You know, then we had computers. And then we suddenly came up with email. Now, my mother was never really a friend of these accomplishments. You know, she would still call it email. Never said, no, Mom, email. No, okay. So anyhow, we had that. And look what we have today. Fax machine, forget that, right? If you want to, quote unquote, fax something, you do it by sending an email with a scan involved. I'm saying this because, you know, when I became interested in the church, none of these things were even remotely possible. Today we have programs. We have a sermon right now, or a sermonette, if you want to call it such. It's going to be later posted on the internet. And anybody, everybody in the whole world could get that. You know, I mean, even in countries where it's prohibited, quote unquote, to get to the internet, people still find a way to do it. Again, the accomplishments were tremendous. Now again, why am I saying this in light of the title of this message, which has to do with, what did God call you? You know, I had to learn what it means to be called. I didn't know anything about that when I picked up the magazine in 69. Later, it became more obvious. There was a calling involved. God had called me quite individually and specifically for a purpose. I'm saying this to all of you sitting here. I'm saying this to all of you listening in. Are you called? Now, if you are understanding what we are saying, if you have an interest for what we are saying, if you're not listening because you want to get arguments to defeat what we are saying, but you're really interested, you are called. Called for what? Ultimately, of course, the potential is to enter the kingdom of God as a born-again child, as a God being. But that's the future. What about now? Why did God call you now? You know, out of billions of people, there got to be a reason. What's that reason? I'll come back in a moment. But let's talk about some more developments. Again, things we did not anticipate. I remember very well when Mr. Armstrong died, 1986, January of 1986. We didn't want that to happen. Obviously, everybody was praying about it, but it still happened. And then there was this great fear. Now everything is going to collapse, right? Everything is going to collapse, and the church will end, the work will end. But you know, something quite interesting happened. When Mr. Descartes took over, appointed by Mr. Armstrong as his successor, the work continued to be blessed, more so than before. Now we had 5 magazines, all at the same time, every month. We had the Plain Truth, we had the Good News, we had the Youth Magazine, we had World Tomorrow, and we had even the magazine started with Human Potential, was then later called Quest. Somebody said we had so much money coming in, we didn't even know what to do with it all. So without any question, God was still blessing the church quite a bit. Until they started fooling around with the doctrines, fooling around with everything we were doing. And of course, I understand that God ultimately allowed this to happen because prophecies had to be fulfilled. A falling away had to occur. But I dare to say that if they would have stuck to what they were doing, if they would have stuck to the right doctrines, the church would have been continued to be blessed, at least for a while, until this final uproar happened. That's a lesson I had to learn. Don't fool around with doctrines. And don't change a winning horse in a horse race. But again, going back in 69, not a clue of what would all happen. I had no idea that I would even end up in the United States. Coming back to you. You know, we sometimes look into the future and we are wondering what's going to happen. Why am I here in the church? Why did God call me into the church? Couldn't he not wait and call me later? And it would have been more easy to live this kind of a life. You see, God had a purpose. Now, you may say, yeah, but I'm just a child. I'm just a young person. I'm just a young woman, a young lady. I'm not called. Not only are you called, you are holy. You are holy. You know, God says very clearly, if you are the child of at least one parent who is in the church, you're holy. You are sanctified. You are set aside for a holy purpose. Out of billions of people, what is that purpose? You've got to figure out what that purpose is. I recently wrote a Q&A. And at the very end of the Q&A, I made that point, that God has called you, whoever you are, for a holy purpose, for a particular role and position in the church. And then the question was, yeah, I don't know what my purpose is. I hear this all the time. People come to me and say, you know, I've tried to figure out what is my purpose in the church, and I don't know. My answer always is, in some cases it's obvious, right? But in any event, my answer is, pray to God and he will show you. One member I very vividly remember in Germany did that. He came back to me several weeks later and said, I prayed to God and I think I know what my purpose is. And he gave me the answer. And I looked at him and I said, wow, this is so blatantly inspired. That answer is definitely your answer. So if you have questions, you pray to God that he would show you why he called you into the church at this point. You know, we have younger people in Colorado, for instance. I don't believe that Gideon would have thought a year or so ago that he would stand in front of their congregation and conduct song service. His younger brother, Nolan, had to step in when Gideon was sick. I'm not saying that that is the ultimate purpose, but it is something in preparation for what might very well be in store. You know, as the world changed, as the technical things we are taking for granted now have slowly advanced, who's to say what else is going to happen? We know that we have to preach the gospel and all the world as a witness, and then the world will come and the end of the world will come. And Mr. Messier, in his editorial this time, he talked about this. This is the most important work, the most important task on this earth we could all be involved in. So don't belittle your calling. Don't belittle the fact that you are sanctified. Don't belittle the fact that you are holy. But live that way and go forward and let God work out his destination for you in your life. And you'll be so ever thankful that you have done that.